Destined for great things, your mother diverted your path. See what you might have been. Another image appeared above the judges. Hazel saw herself as a little girl, grinning, with her hands covered in finger paint. The image aged. Hazel saw herself growing up. Her hair became longer, her eyes sadder. She saw herself on her 13th birthday, riding across the fields on her borrowed horse. Sammy laughed as he raced after her.
"What are you running from? I'm not that ugly, am I?"
She saw herself in Alaska, trudging down 3rd Street in the snow and darkness on her way home from school. Then the image aged even more. Hazel saw herself at 20. She looked so much like her mother, her hair gathered back in braids, her golden eyes flashing with amusement. She wore a white dress, a wedding dress. She was smiling so warmly. Hazel knew instinctively she must be looking at someone special, someone she loved. The sight didn't make her feel bitter. She didn't even wonder whom she would have married. Instead, she thought,
"My mother might have looked like this if she'd let go of her anger, if Gia hadn't twisted her."
"You lost this life," the first judge said simply. "Special circumstances. Elysium for you. Punishment for your mother."
"No," Hazel said. "No, it wasn't all her fault. She was misled. She loved me. At the end, she tried to protect me."
"Hazel," Frank whispered, "what are you doing?"
She squeezed his hand, urging him to be silent. The judges paid him no attention. Finally, the second judge sighed.
"No resolution. Not enough good. Not enough evil."
"The blame must be divided," the first judge agreed. "Both souls will be consigned to the fields of Asphodel. I'm sorry, Hazel Levesque. You could have been a hero." She passed through the pavilion into yellow fields that went on forever. She led Frank through a crowd of spirits to a grove of black poplar trees.
"You gave up Elysium," Frank said in amazement. "So your mother wouldn't suffer?"
"She didn't deserve punishment," Hazel said.
"But
what happens now?"
"Nothing," Hazel said. "Nothing. For all eternity."
They drifted aimlessly. Spirits around them chattered like bats, lost and confused, not remembering their past or even their names. Hazel remembered everything. Perhaps that was because she was a daughter of Pluto, but she never forgot who she was or why she was there.
"Remembering made my afterlife harder," she told Frank,
who still drifted next to her as a glowing purple lar.
"So many times I tried to walk to my father's palace."
She pointed to a large black castle in the distance.
"I could never reach it. I can't leave the fields of Asphodel."
"Did you ever see your mother again?"
Hazel shook her head.
"She wouldn't know me, even if I could find her. These spirits, it's like an eternal dream for them, an endless trance. This is the best I could do for her."
Time was meaningless, but after an eternity, she and Frank sat together under a black poplar tree, listening to the screams from the fields of punishment. In the distance, under the artificial sunlight of Elysium, the Isles of the Blessed glittered like emeralds in a sparkling blue lake. White sails cut across water, and the souls of great heroes basked on the beaches in perpetual bliss.
"You didn't deserve Asphodel," Frank protested. "You should be with the heroes."
"This is just an echo," Hazel said. "We'll wake up, Frank. It only seems like forever."
"That's not the point," he protested. "Your life was taken from you. You were going to grow up to be a beautiful woman. You..."
His face turned a darker shade of purple.
"You were going to marry someone," he said quietly. "You would have had a good life. You lost all that."
Hazel swallowed back a sob. It hadn't been this hard in Asphodel the first time, when she was on her own. Having Frank with her made her feel so much sadder. But she was determined not to get angry about her fate. Hazel thought about that image of herself as an adult, smiling and in love. She knew it wouldn't take much bitterness to sour her expression,
and make her look exactly like Queen Marie.
"I deserve better," her mother always said.
Hazel couldn't allow herself to feel that way.
"I'm sorry, Frank," she said. "I think your mother was wrong. Sometimes sharing a problem doesn't make it easier to carry."
"But it does." Frank slipped his hand into his coat pocket. "In fact, since we've got eternity to talk, there's something I want to tell you." He brought out an object wrapped in cloth, about the same size as a pair of glasses. When he unfolded it, Hazel saw a half-burned piece of driftwood, glowing with purple light. She frowned.
"What is..."
Then the truth hit her, as cold and harsh as a blast of winter wind.
"Phineas said your life depends on a burned stick."
"It's true," Frank said. "This is my lifeline, literally." He told her how the goddess Juno had appeared when he was a baby, how his grandmother had snatched the piece of wood from the fireplace. "Grandmother said I had gifts. Some talent we got from our ancestor, the Argonaut. That and my dad's being Mars." He shrugged. "I'm supposed to be too powerful or something. That's why my life can burn up so easily. Iris said I would die holding this, watching it burn." Frank turned the piece of tinder in his fingers. Even in his ghostly purple form, he looked so big and sturdy. Hazel figured he would be huge when he was an adult, as strong and healthy as an ox. She couldn't believe his life depended on something as small as a stick.
"Frank, how can you carry it around with you?" she asked. "Aren't you terrified something will happen to it?"
"That's why I'm telling you." He held out the firewood. "I know it's a lot to ask, but would you keep it for me?" Hazel's head spun. Until now, she'd accepted Frank's presence in her blackout. She'd led him along, numbly replaying her past, because it seemed only fair to show him the truth. But now she wondered if Frank was really experiencing this with her, or if she was just imagining his presence. Why would he trust her with his life?
"Frank," she said, "you know who I am. I'm Pluto's daughter. Everything I touch goes wrong. Why would you trust me?"
"You're my best friend." He placed the firewood in her hands. "I trust you more than anybody." She wanted to tell him he was making a mistake. She wanted to give it back. But before she could say anything, a shadow fell over them. "Our ride is here," Frank guessed. Hazel had almost forgotten she was reliving her past. Nico D'Angelo stood over her in his black overcoat, his Stygian iron sword at his side. He didn't notice Frank, but he locked eyes with Hazel and seemed to read her whole life. "You're different," he said. "The child of Pluto. You remember your past."
"Yes," Hazel said, "and you're alive."
Nico studied her like he was reading a menu, deciding whether or not to order. "I'm Nico D'Angelo," he said. "I came looking for my sister. Death has gone missing. So I thought I could bring her back and no one would notice."
"Back to life?" Hazel asked. "Is that possible?"
"It should have been," Nico sighed. "But she's gone. She chose to be reborn into a new life. I'm too late."
"I'm sorry."
He held out his hand. "You're my sister, too. You deserve another chance. Come with me."
Chapter 30. Hazel.
"Hazel!"
Percy was shaking her shoulder.
"Wake up! We've reached Seattle."
She sat up groggily, squinting in the morning sunlight.
"Frank!"
Frank groaned, rubbing his eyes.
"Did we just... was I just..."
"You both passed out," Percy said. "I don't know why, but Ella told me not to worry about it. She said you were... sharing?"
"Sharing,"
Ella agreed. She crouched in the stern, preening her wing feathers with her teeth, which didn't look like a very effective form of personal hygiene. She spit out some red fluff.
"Sharing is good. No more blackouts. Biggest American blackout, August 14, 2003. Hazel shared. No more blackouts."
Percy scratched his head.
"Yeah, we've been having conversations like that all night. I still don't know what she's talking about."
Hazel pressed her hand against her coat pocket.
She could feel the piece of firewood wrapped in cloth. She looked at Frank.
You were there.
He nodded. He didn't say anything, but his expression was clear. He'd meant what he said. He wanted her to keep the piece of tinder safe. She wasn't sure whether she felt honored or scared. No one had ever trusted her with something so important.
Wait, Percy said. You mean you guys shared a blackout? Are you guys both going to pass out from now on?
Nope, Ella said. Nope, nope, nope. No more blackouts. More books for Ella. Books in Seattle.
Hazel gazed over the water. They were sailing through a large bay, making their way toward a cluster of downtown buildings. Neighborhoods rolled across a series of hills. From the tallest one rose an odd white tower with a saucer on the top, like a spaceship from the old Flash Gordon movie Sammy used to love.
No more blackouts? Hazel thought.
After enduring them for so long, the idea seemed too good to be true. How could Ella be sure they were gone? Yet Hazel did feel different, more grounded, as if she wasn't trying to live in two time periods anymore. Every muscle in her body began to relax. She felt as if she'd finally slipped out of a lead jacket she'd been wearing for months. Somehow, having Frank with her during the blackout had helped. She'd relived her entire past right through to the present. Now all she had to worry about was the future, assuming she had one. Percy steered the boat toward the downtown docks. As they got closer, Ella scratched nervously at her nest of books. Hazel started to feel edgy, too. She wasn't sure why. It was a bright, sunny day, and Seattle looked like a beautiful place, with inlets and bridges, wooded islands dotting the bay, and snow-capped mountains rising in the distance. Still, she felt as if she were being watched.
Why are we stopping here? She asked.
Percy showed them the silver ring on his necklace.
Raina has a sister here. She asked me to find her and show her this.
Raina has a sister? Frank asked, like the idea terrified him.
Percy nodded. Apparently, Raina thinks her sister could send help for the camp.
Amazons, Ella muttered. Amazon country. Ella will find libraries instead. Doesn't like Amazons. Fierce, shields, swords, pointy, ouch.
Frank reached for his spear.
Amazons? Like, female warriors?
That would make sense, Hazel said. If Raina's sister is also a daughter of Bellona, I can see why she'd join the Amazons. But is it safe for us to be here?
Nope, 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 Ella said. Get books instead. No Amazons.
We have to try, Percy said. I promised Raina. Besides, the Pax isn't doing too great. I've been pushing it pretty hard.
Hazel looked down at her feet. Water was leaking between the floorboards.
Oh. Yeah, Percy agreed. We'll either need to fix it or find a new boat. I'm pretty much holding it together with my willpower at this point. Ella, do you have any idea where we can find the Amazons?
And, Frank said nervously, they don't, like, kill men on sight, do they?
Ella glanced at the downtown docks, only a few hundred yards away.
Ella will find friends later. Ella will fly away now.
And she did.
Well, Frank picked a single red feather out of the air. That's encouraging.
They docked at the wharf. They barely had time to unload their supplies before the Pax shuddered and broke into pieces. Most of it sank, leaving only a board with a painted eye and another with the letter P bobbing in the waves.
Guess we're not fixing it, Hazel said. What now?
Percy stared at the steep hills of downtown Seattle.
We hope the Amazons will help.
They explored for hours. They found some great salty caramel chocolate at a candy store. They bought some coffee so strong Hazel's head felt like a vibrating gong. They stopped at a sidewalk cafe and had some excellent grilled salmon sandwiches. Once they saw Ella zooming between high-rise towers, a large book clutched in each foot. But they found no Amazons. All the while, Hazel was aware of the time ticking by. June 22nd now, and Alaska was still a long way away. Finally, they wandered south of downtown, into a plaza surrounded by smaller glass and brick buildings. Hazel's nerves started tingling. She looked around, sure she was being watched.
There, she said.
The office building on their left had a single word etched on the glass doors. Amazon.
Oh, Frank said. Oh, no, Hazel. That's a modern thing. They're a company, right? They sell stuff on the internet. They're not actually Amazons.
Unless...
Percy walked through the doors. Hazel had a bad feeling about this place, but she and Frank followed. The lobby was like an empty fish tank. Glass walls, a glossy black floor, a few token plants, and pretty much nothing else. Against the back wall, a black stone staircase led up and down. In the middle of the room stood a young woman in a black pantsuit, with long auburn hair and a security guard's earpiece. Her name tag said Kinsey. Her smile was friendly enough, but her eyes reminded Hazel of the policemen in New Orleans who used to patrol the French Quarter at night. They always seemed to look through you, as if they were thinking about who might attack them next. Kinsey nodded at Hazel, ignoring the boys.
May I help you?
I hope so, Hazel said. We're looking for Amazons. Kinsey glanced at Hazel's sword, then Frank's spear, though neither should have been visible through the mist.
This is the main campus for Amazon, she said cautiously.
Did you have an appointment with someone, or...
Hilla, Percy interrupted. We're looking for a girl named...
Kinsey moved so fast, Hazel's eyes almost couldn't follow. She kicked Frank in the chest and sent him flying backward across the lobby. She pulled a sword out of thin air, swept Percy off his feet with the flat of the blade, and pressed the point under his chin. Too late, Hazel reached for her sword. A dozen more girls in black flooded up the staircase, swords in hand, and surrounded her. Kinsey glared down at Percy. First rule, males don't speak without permission. Second rule, trespassing on our territory is punishable by death. You'll meet Queen Hilla, all right. She'll be the one deciding your fate. The Amazons confiscated the trio's weapons and marched them down so many flights of stairs, Hazel lost count. Finally, they emerged in a cavern so big it could have accommodated 10 high schools, sports fields and all. Stark fluorescent lights glowed along the rock ceiling. Conveyor belts wound through the room like water slides, carrying boxes in every direction. Aisles of metal shelves stretched out forever, stacked high with crates of merchandise. Cranes hummed and robotic arms whirred, folding cardboard boxes, packing shipments, and taking things on and off the belts. Some of the shelves were so tall they were only accessible by ladders and catwalks, which ran across the ceiling like theater scaffolding. Hazel remembered newsreels she'd seen as a child. She'd always been impressed by the scenes of factories building planes and guns for the war effort, hundreds and hundreds of weapons coming off the line every day. But that was nothing compared to this, and almost all the work was being done by computers and robots. The only humans Hazel could see were some black-suited security women patrolling the catwalks and some men in orange jumpsuits, like prison uniforms, driving forklifts through the aisles, delivering more pallets of boxes. The men wore iron collars around their necks.
"You keep slaves?"
Hazel knew it might be dangerous to speak, but she was so outraged she couldn't stop herself.
"The men?"
Kinsey snorted. "They're not slaves. They just know their place. Now move." They walked so far, Hazel's feet began to hurt. She thought they must surely be getting to the end of the warehouse when Kinsey opened a large set of double doors and led them into another cavern, just as big as the first.
"The underworld isn't this big,"
Hazel complained, which probably wasn't true, but it felt that way to her feet. Kinsey smiled smugly.
"You admire our base of operations?"
"Yes, our distribution system is worldwide. It took many years and most of our fortune to build. Now, finally, we're turning a profit. The mortals don't realize they are funding the Amazon Kingdom. Soon we'll be richer than any mortal nation. Then, when the weak mortals depend on us for everything, the revolution will begin."
"What are you going to do?" Frank grumbled. "Cancel free shipping?"
A guard slammed the hilt of her sword into his gut. Percy tried to help him, but two more guards pushed him back at sword point.
"You'll learn respect," Kinsey said.
It's males like you who have ruined the mortal world. The only harmonious society is one run by women. We are stronger, wiser,
more humble, Percy said.
The guards tried to hit him, but Percy ducked.
Stop it, Hazel said.
Surprisingly, the guards listened.
Hilla is going to judge us, right? Hazel asked. So take us to her. We're wasting time.
Kinsey nodded. Perhaps you're right. We have more important problems. And time. Time is definitely an issue.
What do you mean? Hazel asked.
A guard grunted.
We could take them straight to Otrera. Might win her favor that way.
No, Kinsey snarled. I'd sooner wear an iron collar and drive a forklift. Hilla is queen.
Until tonight, another guard muttered. Kinsey gripped her sword. For a second, Hazel thought the Amazons might start fighting one another, but Kinsey seemed to get her anger under control.
Enough, she said. Let's go.
They crossed a lane of forklift traffic, navigated a maze of conveyor belts, and ducked under a row of robotic arms that were packing up boxes. Most of the merchandise looked pretty ordinary. Books, electronics, baby diapers. But against one wall sat a war chariot with a big barcode on the side. Hanging from the yoke was a sign that read, "Only one left in stock. Order soon. More on the way." Finally, they entered a smaller cavern that looked like a combination loading zone and throne room. The walls were lined with metal shelves 6 stories high, decorated with war banners, painted shields, and the stuffed heads of dragons, hydras, giant lions, and wild boars. Standing guard along either side were dozens of forklifts modified for war. An iron-collared male drove each machine, but an Amazon warrior stood on a platform in back, manning a giant mounted crossbow. The prongs of each forklift had been sharpened into oversized sword blades. The shelves in this room were stacked with cages containing live animals. Hazel couldn't believe what she was seeing. Black mastiffs, giant eagles, a lion-eagle hybrid that must have been a griffin, and a red ant the size of a compact car. She watched in horror as a forklift zipped into the room, picked up a cage with a beautiful white Pegasus, and sped away while the horse whinnied in protest.
"What are you doing to that poor animal?" Hazel demanded.
Kinsey frowned. "The Pegasus? It'll be fine. Someone must have ordered it. The shipping and handling charges are steep, but..."
"You can buy a Pegasus online?" Percy asked.
Kinsey glared at him.
"Obviously you can't, male.
But Amazons can. We have followers all over the world. They need supplies. This way."
At the end of the warehouse was a dais constructed from pallets of books, stacks of vampire novels, walls of James Patterson thrillers, and a throne made from about 1,000 copies of something called The 5 Habits of Highly Aggressive Women. At the base of the steps, several Amazons in camouflage were having a heated argument while a young woman, Queen Hilla, Hazel assumed, watched and listened from her throne. Hilla was in her 20s, lithe and lean as a tiger. She wore a black leather jumpsuit and black boots. She had no crown, but around her waist was a strange belt made of interlocking gold links, like the pattern of a labyrinth. Hazel couldn't believe how much she looked like Reyna. A little older, perhaps, but with the same long black hair, the same dark eyes, and the same hard expression, like she was trying to decide which of the Amazons before her most deserved death. Kinsey took one look at the argument and grunted with distaste.
Otrera's agents spreading their lies.
What?
Frank asked. Then Hazel stopped so abruptly the guards behind her stumbled. A few feet from the queen's throne, 2 Amazons guarded a cage. Inside was a beautiful horse. Not the winged kind, but a majestic and powerful stallion with a honey-colored coat and a black mane. His fierce brown eyes regarded Hazel, and she could swear he looked impatient, as if thinking, "About time you got here."
"It's him," Hazel murmured.
"Him who?" Percy asked.
Kinsey scowled in annoyance, but when she saw where Hazel was looking, her expression softened.
"Ah, yes. Beautiful, isn't he?"
Hazel blinked to make sure she wasn't hallucinating. It was the same horse she'd chased in Alaska. She was sure of it. But that was impossible. No horse could live that long.
Is he...
Hazel could hardly control her voice.
Is he for sale?
The guards all laughed.
That's Orion, Kinsey said patiently, as if she understood Hazel's fascination. He's a royal treasure of the Amazons, to be claimed only by our most courageous warrior, if you believe the prophecy.
Prophecy? Hazel asked.
Kinsey's expression became pained, almost embarrassed.
Never mind. But no, he's not for sale. Then why is he in a cage?
Kinsey grimaced.
Because he is difficult.
Right on cue, the horse slammed his head against the cage door. The metal bars shuddered and the guards retreated nervously.
Hazel wanted to free that horse. She wanted it more than anything she had ever wanted before.
But Percy, Frank, and a dozen Amazon guards were staring at her, so she tried to mask her emotions.
Just asking, she managed. Let's see the queen.
The argument at the front of the room grew louder. Finally, the queen noticed Hazel's group approaching, and she snapped,
Enough!
The arguing Amazons shut up immediately. The queen waved them aside and beckoned Kinsey forward. Kinsey shoved Hazel and her friends toward the throne.
My queen, these demigods...
The queen shot to her feet.
You!
She glared at Percy Jackson with murderous rage. Percy muttered something in ancient Greek that Hazel was pretty sure the nuns at St. Agnes wouldn't have liked.
Clipboard, he said. Spa. Pirates.
This made no sense to Hazel, but the queen nodded. She stepped down from her dais of bestsellers and drew a dagger from her belt.
You were incredibly foolish to come here, she said. You destroyed my home. You made my sister and me exiles and prisoners.
Percy, Frank said uneasily, what's the scary woman with the dagger talking about?
Circe's Island, Percy said. I just remembered. The Gorgon's blood. Maybe it's starting to heal my mind. The Sea of Monsters. Hilla. She welcomed us at the docks, took us to see her boss. Hilla worked for the sorceress.
Hilla bared her perfect white teeth.
Are you telling me you've had amnesia?
You know, I might actually believe you. Why else would you be stupid enough to come here?
We've come in peace, Hazel insisted. What did Percy do?
Peace? The queen raised her eyebrows at Hazel.
What did he do? This male destroyed Circe's school of magic.
Circe turned me into a guinea pig, Percy protested.
No excuses, Hilla said. Circe was a wise and generous employer. I had room and board, a good health plan, dental, pet leopards, free potions, everything. And this demigod with his friend, the blonde.
Annabeth.
Percy tapped his forehead like he wanted the memories to come back faster.
That's right. I was there with Annabeth.
You released our captives, Blackbeard and his pirates.
She turned to Hazel.
Have you ever been kidnapped by pirates?
It isn't fun. They burned our spa to the ground. My sister and I were their prisoners for months. Fortunately, we were daughters of Bellona. We learned to fight quickly. If we hadn't...
She shuddered.
Well, the pirates learned to respect us.
Eventually, we made our way to California, where we...
She hesitated as if the memory was painful. Where my sister and I parted ways.
She stepped toward Percy until they were nose to nose. She ran her dagger under his chin.
Of course, I survived and prospered. I have risen to be Queen of the Amazons. So perhaps I should thank you.
You're welcome, Percy said.
The queen dug her knife in a little deeper.
Never mind. I think I'll kill you.
Wait, Hazel yelped. Raina sent us. Your sister. Look at the ring on his necklace.
Hilla frowned.
She lowered her knife to Percy's necklace until the point rested on the silver ring. The color drained from her face.
"Explain this," she glared at Hazel. "Quickly."
Hazel tried. She described Camp Jupiter. She told the Amazons about Reyna being their praetor, and the army of monsters that was marching south. She told them about their quest to free Thanatos in Alaska. As Hazel talked, another group of Amazons entered the room. One was taller and older than the rest, with plaited silver hair and fine silk robes like a Roman matron. The other Amazons made way for her, treating her with such respect that Hazel wondered if she was Hilla's mother, until she noticed how Hilla and the older woman stared daggers at each other.
"So we need your help," Hazel finished her story. "Reyna needs your help."
Hilla gripped Percy's leather cord and yanked it off his neck, beads, ring, probatio tablet, and all.
"Reyna, that foolish girl."
"Well," the older woman interrupted, "Romans need our help."
She laughed, and the Amazons around her joined in.
"How many times did we battle the Romans in my day?"
the woman asked.
"How many times have they killed our sisters in battle?"
"When I was queen..."
"Otrera,"
Hilla interrupted.
"You are here as a guest. You are not queen anymore."
The older woman spread her hands and made a mocking bow.
"As you say, at least until tonight. But I speak the truth, Queen Hilla."
She said the word like a taunt.
"I've been brought back by the Earth Mother herself. I bring tidings of a new war. Why should Amazons follow Jupiter, that foolish king of Olympus, when we can follow a queen?"
"When I take command."
"If you take command," Hilla said. "But for now, I am queen. My word is law."
"I see."
Otrera looked at the assembled Amazons, who were standing very still, as if they'd found themselves in a pit with two wild tigers.
"Have we become so weak that we listen to male demigods? Will you spare the life of this son of Neptune, even though he once destroyed your home? Perhaps you'll let him destroy your new home, too."
Hazel held her breath. The Amazons looked back and forth between Hilla and Otrera, watching for any sign of weakness.
"I will pass judgment," Hilla said in an icy tone. "Once I have all the facts. That is how I rule, by reason, not fear. First, I will talk with this one."
She jabbed a finger toward Hazel. "It is my duty to hear out a female warrior before I sentence her or her allies to death. That is the Amazon way.
Or have your years in the underworld muddled your memory, Otrera?"
The older woman sneered, but she didn't try to argue. Hilla turned to Kinsey.
"Take these males to the holding cells. The rest of you, leave us."
Otrera raised her hand to the crowd.
"As our queen commands. But any of you who would like to hear more about Gia and our glorious future with her, come with me."
About half of the Amazons followed her out of the room. Kinsey snorted with disgust. Then she and her guards hauled Percy and Frank away. Soon Hilla and Hazel were alone except for the queen's personal guards. At Hilla's signal, even they moved out of earshot. The queen turned toward Hazel. Her anger dissolved, and Hazel saw desperation in her eyes. The queen looked like one of her caged animals being whisked off on a conveyor belt.
"We must talk," Hilla said. "We don't have much time. By midnight, I will most likely be dead."
Chapter 31. Hazel.
Hazel considered making a run for it. She didn't trust Queen Hilla, and she certainly didn't trust that other lady, Otrera. Only three guards were left in the room. All of them kept their distance. Hilla was armed with just a dagger. This deep underground, Hazel might be able to cause an earthquake in the throne room or summon a big pile of schist or gold. If she could cause a distraction, she might be able to escape and find her friends. Unfortunately, she'd seen the Amazons fight. Even though the queen had only a dagger, Hazel suspected she could use it pretty well. And Hazel was unarmed. They hadn't searched her, which meant, thankfully, they hadn't taken Frank's firewood from her coat pocket. But her sword was gone. The queen seemed to be reading her thoughts.
Forget about escape.
Of course, we'd respect you for trying, but we'd have to kill you.
Thanks for the warning.
Hilla shrugged.
The least I can do. I believe you come in peace. I believe Reyna sent you. But you won't help?
The queen studied the necklace she'd taken from Percy.
It's complicated, she said. Amazons have always had a rocky relationship with other demigods, especially male demigods.
We fought for King Priam in the Trojan War, but Achilles killed our queen, Penthesilea. Years before that, Hercules stole Queen Hippolyta's belt. This belt I'm wearing. It took us centuries to recover it. Long before that, at the very beginning of the Amazon nation, a hero named Bellerophon killed our first queen, Otrera.
You mean the lady who just left?
Yes. Otrera, our first queen, daughter of Ares.
Mars?
Hilla made a sour face. No, definitely Ares. Otrera lived long before Rome, in a time when all demigods were Greek. Unfortunately, some of our warriors still prefer the old ways. Children of Ares. They are always the worst.
The old ways.
Hazel had heard rumors about Greek demigods. Octavian believed they existed and were secretly plotting against Rome. But she'd never really believed it. Even when Percy came to camp, he just didn't strike her as an evil, scheming Greek.
You mean the Amazons are a mix, Greek and Roman?
Hilla continued to examine the necklace, the clay beads, the Probatio tablet. She slipped Reyna's silver ring off the cord and put it on her own finger.
I suppose they don't teach you about that at Camp Jupiter.
The gods have many aspects. Mars, Ares, Pluto, Hades. Being immortal, they tend to accumulate personalities. They are Greek, Roman, American, a combination of all the cultures they've influenced over the eons.
Do you understand? I'm not sure. Are all Amazons demigods?
The queen spread her hands.
We all have some immortal blood, but many of our warriors are descended from demigods. Some have been Amazons for countless generations, others are children of minor gods. Kinsey, the one who brought you here, is the daughter of a nymph. Ah, here she is now.
The girl with the auburn hair approached the queen and bowed.
The prisoners are safely locked away, Kinsey reported. But...
Yes? The queen asked.
Kinsey swallowed like she had a bad taste in her mouth.
Otrera made sure her followers are guarding the cells.
I'm sorry, my queen.
Hilla pursed her lips.
No matter. Stay with us, Kinsey. We were just talking about our, situation.
Otrera, Hazel guessed. Gia brought her back from the dead to throw you Amazons into civil war.
The queen exhaled.
If that was her plan, it is working. Otrera is a legend among our people. She plans to take back the throne and lead us to war against the Romans. Many of my sisters will follow her.
Not all, Kinsey grumbled.
But Otrera is a spirit, Hazel said. She isn't even...
Real? The queen studied Hazel carefully.
I worked with the sorceress Circe for many years. I know a returned soul when I see one.
When did you die, Hazel? 1920? 1930?
1942, Hazel said. But I wasn't sent by Gia. I came back to stop her. This is my second chance.
Your second chance? Hilla gazed at the rows of battle forklifts, now empty.
I know about second chances. That boy, Percy Jackson. He destroyed my old life. You wouldn't have recognized me back then. I wore dresses and makeup. I was a glorified secretary, an accursed Barbie doll.
Kinsey made a three-fingered claw over her heart, like the voodoo gestures Hazel's mom once used for warding off the evil eye.
Circe's island was a safe place for Reyna and me, the queen continued. We were daughters of the war goddess, Bellona.
I wanted to protect Reyna from all that violence. Then Percy Jackson unleashed the pirates. They kidnapped us, and Raina and I learned to be tough. We found out that we were good with weapons. The past 4 years, I've wanted to kill Percy Jackson for what he made us endure.
But Raina became the praetor of Camp Jupiter, Hazel said. You became the queen of the Amazons. Maybe this was your destiny.
Hilla fingered the necklace in her hand.
I may not be queen for much longer.
You will prevail, Kinsey insisted.
As the fates decree, Hilla said without enthusiasm.
You see, Hazel, Otrera has challenged me to a duel. Every Amazon has that right. Tonight at midnight, we'll battle for the throne.
But you're good, right?
Hazel asked. Hilla managed a dry smile.
Good, yes. But Otrera is the founder of the Amazons. She's a lot older. Maybe she's out of practice, having been dead for so long.
I hope you're right, Hazel. You see, it's a battle to the death. She waited for that to sink in. Hazel remembered what Phineas had said in Portland, how he had had a shortcut back from death, thanks to Gia. She remembered how the Gorgons had tried to reform in the Tiber.
Even if you kill her, Hazel said, she'll just come back. As long as Thanatos is chained, she won't stay dead.
Exactly, Hilla said. Otrera has already told us that she can't die, so even if I manage to defeat her tonight, she'll simply return and challenge me again tomorrow. There is no law against challenging the queen multiple times. She can insist on fighting me every night until she finally wears me down. I can't win. Hazel gazed at the throne. She imagined Otrera sitting there with her fine robes and her silver hair, ordering her warriors to attack Rome. She imagined the voice of Gia filling this cavern.
There has to be a way, she said. Don't Amazons have special powers or something?
No more than other demigods, Hilla said. We can die, just like any mortal. There is a group of archers who follow the goddess Artemis. They are often mistaken for Amazons, but the hunters forsake the company of men in exchange for almost endless life. We Amazons, we would prefer to live life to the fullest. We love, we fight, we die.
I thought you hated men.
Hilla and Kinsey both laughed.
Hate men? Said the queen.
No, no. We like men. We just like to show them who's in charge. But that's beside the point. If I could, I would rally our troops and ride to my sister's aid. Unfortunately, my power is tenuous. When I am killed in combat, and it's only a matter of time, Otrera will be queen. She will march to Camp Jupiter with our forces, but she will not go to help my sister. She'll go to join the giant's army.
We've got to stop her, Hazel said. My friends and I killed Phineas, one of Gia's other servants in Portland. Maybe we can help.
The queen shook her head.
You can't interfere. As queen, I must fight my own battles. Besides, your friends are imprisoned. If I let them go, I'll look weak. Either I execute you three as trespassers, or Otrera will do so when she becomes queen.
Hazel's heart sank.
So I guess we're both dead. Me for the second time.
In the corner cage, the stallion, Orion, whinnied angrily. He reared and slammed his hooves against the bars.
The horse seems to feel your despair, the queen said. Interesting. He's immortal, you know, the son of Neptune and Ceres.
Hazel blinked.
Two gods had a horse for a kid?
Long story.
Oh.
Hazel's face felt hot with embarrassment.
He's the fastest horse in the world. Hilla said. Pegasus is more famous with his wings.
But Orion runs like the wind over land and sea. No creature is faster. It took us years to capture him, one of our greatest prizes. But it did us no good. The horse will not allow anyone to ride him.
I think he hates Amazons, and he is expensive to keep. He will eat anything, but he prefers gold.
The back of Hazel's neck tingled.
He eats gold?
She remembered the horse following her in Alaska so many years ago.
She had thought he was eating nuggets of gold that appeared in her footsteps. She knelt and pressed her hand against the floor. Immediately the stone cracked. A chunk of gold ore the size of a plum was pushed out of the earth. Hazel stood, examining her prize. Hilla and Kinsey stared at her.
How did you...
The queen gasped.
Hazel, be careful.
Hazel approached the stallion's cage. She put her hand between the bars, and Orion gingerly ate the chunk of gold from her palm.
Unbelievable, Kinsey said. The last girl who tried that...
Now has a metal arm, the queen finished. She studied Hazel with new interest, as if deciding whether or not to say more.
Hazel, we spent years hunting for this horse. It was foretold that the most courageous female warrior would someday master Orion and ride him to victory, ushering in a new era of prosperity for the Amazons. Yet no Amazon can touch him, much less control him. Even Otrera tried and failed. Two others died attempting to ride him. That probably should have worried Hazel, but she couldn't imagine this beautiful horse hurting her. She put her hand through the bars again and stroked Orion's nose. He nuzzled her arm, murmuring contentedly, as if asking, "More gold? Yum."
"I would feed you more, Orion," Hazel glanced pointedly at the queen, "but I think I'm scheduled for an execution." Queen Hilla looked from Hazel to the horse and back again.
"Unbelievable."
"The prophecy," Kinsey said. "Is it possible?" Hazel could almost see the gears turning inside the queen's head, formulating a plan. "You have courage, Hazel Levesque, and it seems Orion has chosen you."
"Kinsey?"
"Yes, my queen." "You said Otrera's followers are guarding the cells?" Kinsey nodded.
"I should have foreseen that. I'm sorry."
"No, it's fine." The queen's eyes gleamed, the way Hannibal the elephants did whenever he was unleashed to destroy a fortress.
"It would be embarrassing for Otrera if her followers failed in their duties. If, for instance, they were overcome by an outsider and a prison break occurred."
Kinsey began to smile.
"Yes, my queen. Most embarrassing."
"Of course," Hilla continued. "None of my guards would know a thing about this." Kinsey would not spread the word to allow an escape.
"Certainly not," Kinsey agreed.
"And we couldn't help you." The queen raised her eyebrows at Hazel.
"But if you somehow overpowered the guards and freed your friends, if, for instance, you took one of the guards' Amazon cards..."
"With one-click purchasing enabled," Kinsey said, "which will open the jail cells with one click."
"If, gods forbid, something like that were to happen," the queen continued, "you would find your friends' weapons and supplies in the guard station next to the cells. And who knows, if you made your way back to this throne room while I was off preparing for my duel, well, as I mentioned, Orion is a very fast horse. It would be a shame if he were stolen and used for an escape."
Hazel felt like she'd been plugged into a wall socket. Electricity surged through her whole body. Orion could be hers. All she had to do was rescue her friends and fight her way through an entire nation of highly trained warriors.
"Queen Hilla," she said, I'm not much of a fighter."
"Oh, there are many kinds of fighting, Hazel. I have a feeling you're quite resourceful. And if the prophecy is correct, you will help the Amazon nation achieve prosperity. If you succeed on your quest to free Thanatos, for instance."
"Then Otrera wouldn't come back if she were killed," Hazel said. "You'd only have to defeat her, every night until we succeed."
The queen nodded grimly.
"It seems we both have impossible tasks ahead of us."
"But you're trusting me," said Hazel, "and I trust you. You will win, as many times as it takes." Hilla held out Percy's necklace and poured it into Hazel's hands.
"I hope you're right," the queen said.
"But the sooner you succeed, the better, yes?" Hazel slipped the necklace into her pocket. She shook the queen's hand,
wondering if it was possible to make a friend so fast, especially one who was about to send her to jail. "This conversation never happened," Hilla told Kinsey. "Take our prisoner to the cells and hand her over to Otrera's guards. And Kinsey, be sure you leave before anything unfortunate happens. I don't want my loyal followers held accountable for a prison break." The queen smiled mischievously, and for the first time, Hazel felt jealous of Reyna. She wished that she had a sister like this.
"Goodbye, Hazel of Esk," the queen said. "If we both die tonight, well, I'm glad I met you."
Chapter 32 Hazel. The Amazon jail was at the top of a storage aisle 60 feet in the air. Kinsey led her up 3 different ladders to a metal catwalk, then tied Hazel's hands loosely behind her back and pushed her along past crates of jewelry. 100 feet ahead, under the harsh glow of fluorescent lights, a row of chain-link cages hung suspended from cables. Percy and Frank were in 2 of the cages, talking to each other in hushed tones. Next to them on the catwalk, 3 bored-looking Amazon guards leaned against their spears and gazed at little black tablets in their hands like they were reading. Hazel thought the tablets looked too thin for books. Then it occurred to her they might be some sort of tiny, what did modern people call them? Laptop computers. Secret Amazon technology, perhaps. Hazel found the idea almost as unsettling as the battle forklifts downstairs.
"Get moving, girl," Kinsey ordered, loud enough for the guards to hear. She prodded Hazel in the back with her sword.
Hazel walked as slowly as she could, but her mind was racing. She needed to come up with a brilliant rescue plan. So far, she had nothing. Kinsey had made sure she could break her bonds easily, but she'd still be empty-handed against 3 trained warriors, and she had to act before they put her in a cage. She passed a pallet of crates marked 24-karat blue topaz rings, then another labeled silver friendship bracelets. An electronic display next to the friendship bracelets read, "People who bought this item also bought Garden Gnome Solar Patio Light and Flaming Spear of Death. Buy all 3 and save 12%. Hazel froze. Gods of Olympus, she was stupid. Silver, topaz. She sent out her senses searching for precious metals, and her brain almost exploded from the feedback. She was standing next to a 6-story-tall mountain of jewelry. But in front of her, from here to the guards, was nothing but prison cages.
"What is it?" Kinsey hissed. "Keep moving. They'll get suspicious." "Make them come here," Hazel muttered over her shoulder. "Why? Please."
The guards frowned in their direction.
"What are you staring at?" Kinsey yelled at them. "Here's the 3rd prisoner. Come get her."
The nearest guard set down her reading tablet.
"Why can't you walk another 30 paces, Kinsey?"
Because... Oof!
Hazel fell to her knees and tried to put on her best seasick face.
"I'm feeling nauseous. Can't walk. Amazon's too scary."
"There you go," Kinsey told the guards. "Now are you going to come take the prisoner, or should I tell Queen Hilla you're not doing your duty?"
The nearest guard rolled her eyes and trudged over. Hazel had hoped the other 2 guards would come too, but she'd have to worry about that later. The 1st guard grabbed Hazel's arm.
"Fine, I'll take custody of the prisoner. But if I were you, Kinsey, I wouldn't worry about Hilla. She won't be queen much longer."
"We'll see, Doris."
Kinsey turned to leave. Hazel waited until her steps receded down the catwalk. The guard Doris pulled on Hazel's arm.
"Well, come on."
Hazel concentrated on a wall of jewelry next to her. 40 large boxes of silver bracelets.
"Not feeling so good."
"You are not throwing up on me," Doris growled.
She tried to yank Hazel to her feet, but Hazel went limp, like a kid throwing a fit in a store. Next to her, the boxes began to tremble.
"Lulu," Doris yelled to one of her comrades, "help me with this lame little girl."
Amazons named Doris and Lulu, Hazel thought. Okay. The 2nd guard jogged over. Hazel figured this was her best chance. Before they could haul her to her feet, she yelled, "Ooh!" and flattened herself against the catwalk. Doris started to say, "Oh, give me a..." The entire pallet of jewelry exploded with a sound like 1,000 slot machines hitting the jackpot. A tidal wave of silver friendship bracelets poured across the catwalk, washing Doris and Lulu right over the railing. They would have fallen to their deaths, but Hazel wasn't that mean. She summoned a few hundred bracelets, which leaped at the guards and lashed around their ankles, leaving them hanging upside down from the bottom of the catwalk, screaming like lame little girls. Hazel turned toward the third guard. She broke her bonds, which were about as sturdy as toilet paper. She picked up one of the fallen guard's spears. She was terrible with spears, but she hoped the third Amazon didn't know that.
"Should I kill you from here?" Hazel snarled. "Or are you going to make me come over there?"
The guard turned and ran. Hazel shouted over the side to Doris and Lulu,
"Amazon cards! Pass them up unless you want me to undo those friendship bracelets and let you drop."
4.5 seconds later, Hazel had 2 Amazon cards. She raced over to the cages and swiped a card. The doors popped open. Frank stared at her in astonishment.
"Hazel, that was amazing."
Percy nodded. "I will never wear jewelry again."
"Except this." Hazel tossed him the necklace. "Our weapons and supplies are at the end of the catwalk. We should hurry. Pretty soon..."
Alarms began wailing throughout the cavern.
"Yeah," she said. "That'll happen. Let's go."
The first part of the escape was easy. They retrieved their things with no problem, then started climbing down the ladder. Every time Amazon swarmed beneath them, demanding their surrender, Hazel made a crate of jewelry explode, burying their enemies in a Niagara Falls of gold and silver. When they got to the bottom of the ladder, they found a scene that looked like Mardi Gras Armageddon. Amazons trapped up to their necks in bead necklaces, several more upside down in a mountain of amethyst earrings, and a battle forklift buried in silver charm bracelets.
"You, Hazel Levesque," Frank said, "are entirely freaking incredible."
She wanted to kiss him right there, but they had no time. They ran back to the throne room. They stumbled across one Amazon who must have been loyal to Hilla. As soon as she saw the escapees, she turned away like they were invisible. Percy started to ask,
"What the?" "Some of them want us to escape," Hazel said. "I'll explain later."
The second Amazon they met wasn't so friendly. She was dressed in full armor, blocking the throne room entrance. She spun her spear with lightning speed, but this time Percy was ready. He drew Riptide and stepped into battle. As the Amazon jabbed at him, he sidestepped, cut her spear shaft in half, and slammed the hilt of his sword against her helmet. The guard crumpled.
"Mars Almighty," Frank said. "How did you... That wasn't any Roman technique."
Percy grinned.
"The Greek has had some moves, my friend. After you."
They ran into the throne room. As promised, Hilla and her guards had cleared out. Hazel dashed over to Orion's cage and swiped an Amazon card across the lock. Instantly, the stallion burst forth, rearing in triumph. Percy and Frank stumbled backward.
Is that thing tame?"
Frank said. The horse whinnied angrily.
"I don't think so," Percy guessed. "He just said, 'I will trample you to death, silly Chinese-Canadian baby man.'" "You speak horse?" Hazel asked.
"Baby man," Frank spluttered.
"Speaking to horses is a Poseidon thing," Percy said. A Neptune thing."
"Then you and Orion should get along fine," Hazel said. "He's a son of Neptune, too." Percy turned pale.
"Excuse me?"
If they hadn't been in such a bad situation, Percy's expression might have made her laugh.
"The point is, he's fast. He can get us out of here."
Frank did not look thrilled.
"Three of us can't fit on one horse, can we? We'll fall off, or slow him down, or..."
Orion whinnied again.
"Ouch," Percy said. "Frank, the horse says you're a... You know, actually, I'm not going to translate that. Anyway, he says there's a chariot in the warehouse and he's willing to pull it."
There!
Someone yelled from the back of the throne room. A dozen Amazons charged in, followed by males in orange jumpsuits. When they saw Orion, they backed up quickly and headed for the battle forklifts. Hazel vaulted onto Orion's back. She grinned down.